And because we were short of one or two House members, we've got to do one corrective thing with the UW.
We're still short a House member.
Well, first we'll start with, we need to reopen the Department of Work Perk Services.
Mr. Chairman.
So could we, what agency is that?
53.
So, because this will be fairly quick and easy, I believe. So could we have a motion to reopen, and move and second to reopen Agency 53 Workforce Services. Representative Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at Workforce Services, my previous motions may have been a little premature, so I would recommend we put them back the way they were and also require a footnote that they complete a review to tell us where they may make budget reductions to match those in other agencies. Don, do you have that? That's the general concept.
And so part of the problem was, upon our motion, they came and made a presentation to us that said that they would have to eliminate over half of their current analyst positions in order to take a $1.7 million cut because of...
You say that like it's a bad thing.
So I think we just need to regroup, and we're going to ask them to report on what... And it was our understanding also that they did make some internal cuts, and so we'd like to know what they did in the spirit of cooperating with the governor's penny plan and our penny plan and the governor's 8% cuts. And also we asked them to put together and consider in that report where we could likely make reasonable cuts if they have not done so. To taking into consideration, they've got $6.5 million goes to I think it's 600 or 900 series and a bunch of other components of their budget, and so the overall agency in the 100 200 series, I think they have a total of 170 employees. 100 of those are workers' comp, and where we're directing this at, and it would have substantial impact on them. So just what they can do in the spirit of the 8%. So that makes sense?
Second motion.
So it's been moved and second. Further discussion?
Senator, just real quickly, thanks for reopening. I didn't have a chance to interject earlier today, but I actually toured this office up in Casper the week before we came down here. It's one of those 16 state offices, and they in a rental property down there, and the workers' comp division is hammered right now, absolutely hammered. It was pretty fascinating to walk through there. There's a lot of them, and they are flat out going. So I can give you that testimony. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Motion to close.
Motion.
Second. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cochair.
I move that we reopen Agency 67, the University of Wyoming.
Been moving. We did. Just did.
I just did the motion that was seconded. We need to
all in favor to close say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. There's a motion to reopen Agency 67. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a motion from the House side?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a motion. I'm sorry to the committee that I had to step out and present a bill in another committee, so I missed out on some of this discussion, but I'd offer a conceptual amendment, and hopefully Don would be able to capture what I'm trying to say, but to require the university and the community colleges to collaboratively work on their recruitment plan, their transfer plan, their enrollment incentives, those sorts of activities, so that we had a statewide, broad-based approach to how we're going to get more kids coming into our higher education system.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? So this is obviously a rehash of something we already discussed. I think everyone knows the positions on it. So we're not going to learn anything more by rehashing. Okay, seeing no discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to a previous discussion, I would move that we direct the university to work with the city on a plan for the future of campus development, specifically how they'll integrate 15th Street into those plans and come back with a report.
Second. I move and second to the further discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Anything further? Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My amendment actually would repeal the amendment we just passed, but I was writing, so, or not. But, Mr. Chairman, this is what the text of what I was writing. The University of Wyoming shall collaborate with the City of Laramie to develop a comprehensive plan for community traffic flow, pedestrian access, and campus building placement in order to enhance the campus environment. The university shall report their progress on the plan to the Joint Education, blah, blah, and so on, Joint JAC, by December 1, 2017. And, Mr. Chairman, I visualized it coming sort of as a follow-on to the recruiting amendment that we had on page, or footnote that we had on page 58.
So the problem with that, it doesn't address 15th Street necessarily at all.
No, that's true, Mr. Chairman. It was more vague.
So is there a second on the motion? Seeing none. Do we have a motion to close?
Move to close.
Second.
Move and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. Thus spake the Speaker of the House. Next. Where are we at? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for bringing this back up, but I have been wallowing this today. I worry about the situation that we have in YDOT to be able to keep our air enhancement and airport improvement monies in place. For this fiscal year, I think that they might be in such a tight position that we may lose those enhancements.
What's your motion?
My motion is
to reopen YDOT.
To reopen YDOT.
There's been a motion to reopen YDOT. Been seconded.
Yes, we closed the university.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Senator Lyon.
42.
Mr. Chairman, we'll see how this floats. I would move that we put a contingency appropriation in place out of the budget reserve, governor's budget reserve, of $5.8 million. To be used only if the department cannot identify enough general fund dollars to be used on the airport enhancement and airport improvement monies.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Representative Saunders.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I guess my question to the bringer of the amendment is, how do you enforce, I mean, how will you, where's the check and balance in that? I mean, how do we know that they're going to do anything towards that effort other than just take the money in the end? And then another question, why did you choose the BRA versus, like, back it up with the LISR or something?
Mr. Chairman, first question, I don't know. Second question, I just picked one, a 50-50 chance on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cochran.
Can I offer a friendly amendment that this motion is made contingent upon House Bills 218 and 219 not passing?
That's what I said.
Okay. No. We'll assume that you did.
Yeah.
So,
I mean it's friendly.
So my first question is, it's a contingent appropriation, and that's not something that we've done in the past, and it's basically And you can go into a particular fund and earmark it, but to do a contingent appropriation from that particular fund, number one, I don't know if we can do it with that particular fund from the BRA. I suppose, but Don, I just would like a little history on contingent appropriations, consistent with kind of like what the governor requested. And have we done it before? What's the practice in JAC on that?
Mr. Chairman, you have set aside funds for a purpose, but they are appropriated. So, for example, there was an appropriation to the state auditor's office for salary increases or for Medicaid payments. But for profiling purposes, the money is presumed to be expended. Otherwise, we have no ability to track it. This year is the first, to my knowledge, where the governor made a request for contingent appropriations based upon certain expenditures. These are not based upon revenues, but based upon certain events happening that require a expenditure response. So whether you take it out of the budget reserve account or the general fund, it makes little or no difference. It's the same as saying these funds are contingent only upon these bills passing, and to the extent the department cannot identify a like amount of funds for airport enhancements.
So, and just for the total amount for funds for airport enhancement for the next biennium is how much? Because you said 5.8. I think it's only 1.2.
Mr. Chairman, the enhancement portion, I think, is 1.2. If you stack the 4.8 airport improvement piece on top of that, I believe that's what gets you up into the 4 yes. or the 5.8
or so. I just want to find out those numbers. Don?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct. I think the it's $5,988,550 is for the entire aeronautics division, which includes both the enhanced air services as well as airport improvements. So it's both programs combined, 1 year's worth.
And then Don, we had a discussion on that there are interest earns on the funds there. And you said, I'd like to know what a rough amount, we were talking about $3 or $4 million in that account annually on interest that they could theoretically use to cover this if, in fact, one of those funds doesn't pass. So I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. I mean, could we just earmark the interest in those accounts?
Mr. Chairman, I think Kevin reported the $3 million figure. I believe that might be a biennial number. I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, the $3 million is a historical amount of interest, depending on a lot of different things, you know, the performance of the fund balance and all that kind of stuff. But the challenge that they're faced with the conversion of the AML, has already put some weight on that interest for unrestricted highway funds. In conversation with the director of the Department of Transportation, they said they believe that if the fee bill passes, they could most likely be able to take care of the $1.2 million. Now, that doesn't happen. If the fee bill doesn't happen, then they lose the ability to cover that 1.2, plus the fact that they can't cover the airport improvement portion that was just talked about, or the total aeronautics share. So the department believes that they can get to $1.2 million out of that interest, that special revenue that's not restricted to the Constitution for highway user fees.
Further discussion, then. Senator Landon.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Don, if they can't come up with the 4.8, that's really the only general fund appropriation that's made in this budget that we've been looking at, right? It's just the aeronautics division, I believe, and I think that means if they cannot come up with that, we just simply lose whatever that is. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Landon, just to clarify, there are two other components of general fund that were removed from this budget, roughly $1 million for WildLink and $2.6 million for surface transportation. That surface transportation certainly reduces flexibility of the department, but AML funds can be used for surface transportation activities. WildLink and Aeronautics AML funds specifically cannot be used. The way the current language sits, it does not give the department much flexibility. It says if they have $1.2 million, it shall be expended for air service enhancements. It's pretty restrictive and directive as to that these funds could not be used for other highway department purposes. If there are unrestricted funds in the highway fund for next fiscal year, they are directed for air service enhancements up to $1.2 million. It does not include the airport improvements currently.
Mr. Chairman, just it is a little bit gray. I mean, obviously, if the fee bill passes, we're probably going to be okay. But we can bet on the come. I just thought maybe if we got to June and found a problem, I'm not sure we could fix it by then. But
Mr. Chairman,
I think Senator Duxbury,
this proposal leaves a safety measure in place. We're not quite sure where that fee bill is going to go. This is new territory, and I think this would be a good placeholder.
Further discussion? Senator Larson, or Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's just for this year. That's just this year. Just a question. You know, one of the really important components of tourism is having air service. I just wondered if maybe the Good Center had considered looking at Agency 66 and maybe use that as the safety measure. We've got $27 million there in general funds that might be considered. I think as we look at that industry, I think that being able to have air service is really a critical component of it.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to bring up a thought that I had this morning as well, and I've been penciling out an amendment, the idea of authorizing, you know, if we were to feel that the senator's amendment or proposal was a little uncertain, that the Investment Ready program in the Business Council, we could say up to $5 million may be spent on local aeronautics enhancements if House Bill, whatever it is, doesn't pass. And it seems to me that as well as tourism, but certainly the Investment Ready Community Program author, you know, there's no specific language to aeronautics. That's why I thought we could put it in. But, to enhance the community's ability to do economic development seems like it fits in very well. So that would be a subsequent amendment reopening that if this were not to pass.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, I know it's really important in Southwest Wyoming to keep that Rock Springs Airport open. But at the same time, I get to thinking about the discussion we had earlier about the game and fish not having any incentive to work for the bill. And I think perhaps there won't be any incentive in the Senate to work for a fee increase if we do this. So I'm kind of in a quandary here. I certainly want to support my semi-local airport. At the same time, I don't want to take the pressure off all of us in this arena from making the decisions we need to make when we come down here.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Kocher.
I'd just remind you that as profound as that thought was this morning about game and fish, it still lost.
So, Mr. Kocher, first of all, the concept of having a contingent appropriation, I think is really difficult. I like the concept of finding someplace else or other places to get it and not do a contingency. We already have projected $1.2 million, and so really we're talking about $2.4 million. But here's the issue I have is that the way that the problem is the AMLs have created this kind of a catch for us. On the other hand, the way that YDOT funds what they do, and they came in here and they said they've got three avenues, and by golly, these are protected, and these are the only ones you can touch, and so far you can't touch them. I'm going, I don't like that. And so there, to me, there's a fundamental organizational principle here that we have lost some control over YDOT by the way we do it, and so we're set up for it, for them to be able to make us find contingent funding someplace else. And that's a topic for another day, but I just think that that's something we have to think about. And so I'm on it against the motion. I think it may come back to us through your side. And in the meantime, we can collaborate if we want to do some protecting of those funds through one of the other the funding agencies. But that's my two cents on the issue. So further discussion. Senator Lamb.
Just real quickly, that was a good discussion. I think there's all sorts of options, some good ones brought up. And incidentally, I haven't really even talked to anybody from the department. It was just from our conversations in here. I just thought, you know, I want to make sure that we don't lose some of that airport stuff. Finally, I'm willing. I think we're going to be okay. I mean, I think we're okay. But I didn't want to get to June and get a phone call and find out that a couple of airport programs went down. And so, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Question on the motion.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no?
No.
Motion failed. Is there a motion to close?
Motion to close.
Move to close. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no? Motion carried. Don, where are we at?
Mr. Chairman, Agency 69 is your next agency, WICHE. It appears on page 58 and 59 of the bill and page 16 of the cheat sheet. I'm not familiar with any requests on this agency. Next agency is Agency 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. It appears on the bottom of page 59 of the draft bill, page 16 of the cheat sheet, and I believe there is interest in the prior motion that reduced this by $500,000.
A motion on the floor.
Motion to open.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I've been informed of just how wrong I was on the enhanced oil development. And so with that, I will bring a motion to reduce that reduction by $250,000.
Second.
And to replace it with money from the Business Ready Community program.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, could you explain the content of your wrongness so we can understand?
It's kind of like the UW. Is that enough?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It's a 15th Street problem.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Is there a motion to close?
Close.
Second. Work.
Moved. Sure. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion to close. Carries. Next.
Mr. Chairman, your next agency is Agency 77, Enterprise Technology Services. It appears on page 60 of the bill, pages 16 and 17 of the cheat sheet. I am not familiar with any requests on this agency.
Okay.
Next agency is Agency 80, Department of Corrections. Appears on pages 61 through 62 of the bill and on the bottom of page 17 of the cheat sheet. Once again, I'm not familiar with any.
Mr. Chairman.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move to open. Agency 80.
And move and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Motion carries. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the agency continues to need repairs and potential repairs at the Wyoming State Penitentiary. And we have deleted most of and taken back most of their reversions. And I think they'll have minimum reversions. However, I would propose that any reversions they have up to $2 million, they be allowed to retain for continuing repairs on the existing facility.
Is there a second? And moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Coach.
If I recall, we already targeted the governor's statutory reserve account up to $19 million, I believe, for any repairs needed at the penitentiary. So I don't quite understand the need for this $2 million.
That failed.
Oh, did it fail?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. Well, and this is a great motion.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Motion to close?
Move to close.
Moved and seconded to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. And so, Don, just for clarification, that'll be a motion for any reversions up to $2 million for the construction and ongoing maintenance or reconstruction of the state pen in Rawlins.
Mr. Chairman, we will write that in. I must offer at least a caution that, generally speaking, everything in the budget bill expires as of June 30th, 2018. And we can write an extended reversion date on here for that, but generally speaking, carryovers occur next year. In the budget bill, it provides for a carryover into the 2019-2020
biennium. So it's something we will have to do next during the budget session.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought that counts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. You did already vote on it. We'll put it in there.
So that'll be a reminder for us next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be in the budget.
Yeah. The next agency is Agency 81, Board of Parole. Appears on page 62 of the budget and page 18 of your cheat sheet. Next agency is Agency 85, Wyoming Business Council. Appears on page 63 of the budget, page 18 of the cheat sheet. Again, I'm not familiar with any requests. Mr. Chairman, we understood that to be a reduction in that same motion. Okay. And you did similar motions when you did the
Okay.
Next agency is on page 63 and 64 of the budget bill. It's Agency 101, Supreme Court. It appears at the bottom of page 18 and top of page 19 of your cheat sheet. I will jump through the balance of the judicial district courts next. They start on page 65 and conclude on page 77. And I'll include the district attorneys with that on page 78. And that is on your cheat sheet, pages 19 through 25. Actually, through 26. Again, I'm not familiar with any additional motions, and they all adopted the judicial policy position. Next agency is Agency 167, UW Medical Education. It appears on page 79 of the bill and the bottom of page 26 and top of page 27 of the cheat sheet. I'm not familiar with any requests on that agency. The next agency is Section 205. That's the School Foundation Program, also titled Education School Finance. Appears on pages 81 through 84 of the budget bill and appears on the bottom of page 27 of the cheat sheet. Not familiar with any requests on that agency. Next, we have Agency 206. That appears on page 84 of the bill and page 27 of the cheat sheet. And I do believe there's interest in this agency.
Move to open.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
Sorry, where
page 27, cheat sheet, page
206.
Yes.
206.
Okay, motion from the floor. Representative Somers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would make a motion to put the coordinator position in at $65,000 to be taken out of the Department of Education's money, $65,000 salary without benefits, so whatever that – the benefits would add up to whatever on top of that.
It's been a motion –
does that make sense first to
– It's currently AWAC, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, do you intend it to continue to be a contract position?
Yeah, we'll just leave it as an AWAC.
And as an AWAC, it's still, they still have, if it's more than a year, they still have the benefits. Is that correct? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, the benefits that we would incorporate into the salary would be FICA, you know, the Social Security match and unemployment, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make my motion a full-time with that.
Not an AWAC, a full-time. Yeah. So it will be in the standard budget next year.
So
been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, so what's our total figure on that position?
$100,000.
Be a little less than $100,000.
I've got $65,000.
That's the salary.
Salary.
Plus benefits.
Plus benefits.
Benefits are $35,000.
While he's doing that, where are we as far as the current coordinator position? That's a triple-digit amount. Have we cut that out?
30 AWEC position that has not been funded for the next biennium. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we didn't take the – the governor had a recommendation, a letter, and we did not accept the letter. So.
Okay, so it's not currently funded.
It's correct. Not currently funded.
So this would fund it from the school side. At roughly $100,000.
Mr. Chairman, it's presently funded at $136,000 a year. It would be funded for FY18 at $84,500.
And then what would the funding be the next biennium?
That would double and become $169,000 for the next biennium.
Okay. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, ask the body to resist this. No, it's not new growth. It's sustaining salary is where the Department of Education can step in and handle this position. This is one of those creeps in there, just kind of creeps in, and there we are spending again. I'd ask the body to resist it.
So I think the motion, though, is that comes from the existing budget from the Department of Education. It would not be adding to their total budget dollars. Is that right?
That's correct.
And Mr. Chairman, the way we would write this for a full-time position is we would literally move the money at $84,500 from that other division to the state board division, whereas last time we just said you find it. It's still you find it, but we're actually moving the money so that it reappears as part of the standard budget.
But it comes out of the SUPS budget.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I apologize, but that was the question I had, and you said it comes out of – I was going to ask if that comes directly out of the 100 series. And so is that going to require the reduction of a position in the Department of Education so that we can move somebody over to the coordinator's office? Where's that money going to be transferred out of? What?
Dead battery.
Mr. Chairman, that would come out of the accountability and communications budget. They have approximately $4.4 million of general fund. They've already experienced a reduction of $135,000 for FY17, and this would be an additional $84,500 for this year.
So, Mr. Chairman, clarification. We're asking them to reduce and then directing them to spend. Is that what we got going here?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, I'd ask you to resist it. Let the Department of Education govern themselves on this position. Let them figure it out.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I guess I would propose a friendly amendment to the bringer to use that money to maintain it as an AWEC position rather than get into the whole benefits issue. Because I think that complicates it.
I think the AWEC position at full time gets the benefits either way. Is that correct? Or not the full amount?
Don? Correct or not correct?
Mr. Chairman, the AWEC position depends on the negotiation with the agency. If you set it at $65,000 and provide no funding for benefits, then they do not receive benefits. There's no funding for it. If you provide $84,000 and make it an AWEC, then they could make some negotiation. The individual may not take benefits because their spouse or something may have it, or they may, through the contract negotiation, negotiate for benefits.
I'm willing to go whichever way the chair would like to go.
It's your preference. Chair has no preference.
I'll just keep my motion the way it is.
And what? And the motion is FTE or AWAC?
FTE.
Let's go with AWAC.
Okay.
All right. AWAC. Consider that a friendly amendment.
So it's AWAC
now. No, it's AWAC. At 84 million. Or
85
million.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Further discussion. Senator Lane.
Just a final thought. You know, one of the reasons that I thought that it might work well to try this back underneath the Department of Education is that it can remain a multifunction office. You know, I'm not certain that that's a full-time gig. Very well could be. You know, maybe we can get a report back sometime in the future. But you move this and specify that that's all that position's going to be doing. That's all that position's going to be doing. And it just makes sense to me, as the senator said, to let them work it out. We'll get the board taken care of, and at the same time, they might be able to use that desk for something else.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. All those in favor, please raise their hand. Motion carries. Motion to close?
Move to close.
It's been moved and seconded to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, no. Hold on.
Mr. Chairman, just another member had made a inquiry about the department had reduced. The department had reduced 55% of the hearing impaired budget, one AWEC and two FTE, and there was some discussion by a desire to revisit that reduction.
Apparently, you didn't hear correctly.
Okay, motion to close.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Agency 211, appears on page 86 and 87. This is the Board of Equalization, and I'm not aware of any amendments. Followed by Agency 220, EQC, Environmental Quality Council, that appears on page 87 of the budget bill, page 28 of the cheat sheet. I'm not aware of any amendments. And finally, the last agency for your consideration, Agency 38, the Paramutual Commission, appears on page 87 and 88 of the bill, page 29 or 28 and 29 of the cheat sheet. I'm not familiar with any concerns with that agency.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kocher?
Maybe it's my ignorance, but explain to me why the Paramutual Commission is section 38. And if it is 38, why isn't it earlier in the budget?
Mr. Chairman, all separate operating agencies, and it's a board and commission, appear after section 220. So the numbering starts over again after 220.
So that's where all the barbers, commissions, and all that stuff is.
And unfortunately, that's the only one in the supplemental, so it looks out of order.
So if I wanted to open up the board of chiropractors or something.
Now would be the time to do so.
I can.
Absolutely.
That's my question.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I don't want to, but I'm just wondering if I could.
I thought he wanted to do it.
But I can. Okay, next on.
Mr. Chairman, next is Section 300, Subsection K. This is the budget reserve balancer. It provides for an appropriation up to $104,550,000 from the LSRA to the budget reserve account, and only to the extent that the 1% severance tax is insufficient to bring that balance up. There has been some discussion by this committee to add some additional sideboards to this appropriation. If they wish to do so, this would be the opportunity.
Is there a motion from the floor? Well, actually, move to open.
Move to open.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A thought I'd have would be to say that if Craig met and there was going to be at least $100 million difference, that then those transfers could take place. And if it's not that great of a difference, the transfers couldn't take place.
So, Don, can you give us feed us that back in terms of how you would couch that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would use language which we've used before for a conditional appropriation, not the same as this. But if Craig meets and the governor can direct Craig to meet and revises its forecast for the 2017-2018 biennium by $100 million or more, then the appropriation from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account shall be triggered. Absent that finding and condition of Craig changing their forecast by $100 million or more, that transfer would not occur.
Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cochin.
Going back to the penitentiary, I thought $19 million in here was in case the penitentiary failed. How is that affected by this?
Then, Don, go ahead. You can answer.
Mr. Chairman, that motion failed, as did, recall, the $21.2 million request for Title 25. Both of those ended up failing.
Oh, okay. So there is no stated purpose for this money.
For neither of those.
And so,
see, I dwell in a world where it did pass.
Well,
go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe the penitentiary ever did pass. The Title 25 did pass at the level of $12 million, and then it was subsequently rejected at even that level. So that was all action on Governor's Letter Number 4, and I recall that it occurred over 2 days.
That's correct. And so, Don, remind us just one more time about the budget reserve amount and where it was expended in the first and where it's at right now and how it got expended.
Mr. Chairman, the budget reserve amount is determined to be 5% of the upcoming biennium's general fund revenues. And last biennium, it was $108 million, for example. This biennium, it's lower because we are anticipating lower revenues at $104.55 million. Last spring, the governor expended the entirety of the $108 million statutory reserve amount due to declines in natural gas prices and coal production primarily. Certainly, sales tax has contributed some to that. The candid comment is Craig's forecast was wrong last January, and it was wrong to the tune of roughly $150 million for last year's biennium. The governor benefited from being able to access that $108 million. Had that fund not been available, the governor would have had to make additional reductions. That would have been very difficult to do so with 3 or 4 months left in the biennium. So the cuts would be much deeper than 8% in order to achieve that. So he elected to use the full amount of the $108 million, and I believe he is requesting that that be restored in his governor's letter number four.
And which was denied and restored through the LSRA, is that correct?
Chairman, that's correct.
And then how does that interrelate with Senate File 68 that had similar sideboards, and is that still in effect?
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 68 anticipated a conditional appropriation separate and apart from the statutory reserve. So the statutory reserve is used throughout the biennium as a cash balancer. So if this passed, generally speaking, the auditor uses that on a regular basis, just for cash flow. They will dip into this $104 million in order to make payroll, in order to make payments for large invoices. Separate and apart from that, Senate File 68 from last year, the budget shortfall measures legislation, contemplated the continuation of a conditional appropriation, which the legislature has had for approximately 8 years. That conditional appropriation was in addition, not instead of, but in addition to the $104 million statutory reserve amount, whereby the legislature had previously appropriated $100 million and in some years $150 million in the event certain revenue activities took place. A decline in the stock markets, a decline in natural gas prices, a decline in oil prices, or a decline in the overall revenue for that year. An additional $150 million would be released from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account to the general fund. Last year, we were what I would say is dangerously close to that $150 million. The governor did not call Craig to meet. The Craig co-chairs did not elect to meet, but we were right there on the tipping point of $150 million. Indeed, looking back, I think it's safe to say that we did miss it by a little more than $150 million. Had we met prior to June 30th, an automatic appropriation from the LSRA would have been made to the general fund pursuant to the 14 or the 15-16 biennial appropriation.
So then how would Senate File 68 apply going forward?
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 68 provided a framework and encouraged this committee to set aside some sort of a contingent appropriation, much like the one that you're crafting, but you're using it as the statutory reserve amount.
So it's the same thing in a different code, essentially. And you could stack them if you chose to.
Mr. Chairman, I think traditionally they have been stacked. That's correct.
Are there any further questions for Don? Representative Larson.
So, Mr. Chairman and Don, when you talk about stacked, what meaning the two, one would be dependent upon the other or couldn't be accessed till the other is?
No, Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, they would be in addition. So there would be some statutory reserve amount, and you are not subject to the 5%. You could make this $70 million or $20 million or whatever number you choose. And then in addition to that amount, there would be some contingency if there were a shock to commodity markets or investment revenue or sales taxes.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so, Don, do I understand correctly that in the 104 budget reserve amount, unless we specifically up front authorize certain amounts for certain things, then I don't really understand how the governor – well, I don't understand how the governor can access that 104. When he accessed it, the 108, had we specified things he could access it for, or what enables him to use the reserve money?
Mr. Chairman, it provides money in the account from which you are appropriating fund from. So to the extent Craig misses its forecast, he can use any or all of that amount – only for the purposes in the bill. So he can't create new initiatives, but if Craig misses its forecast by $50 million, he can take that $50 million and use it, and that's exactly what he did last year. We missed our forecast, and he accessed $108 million, and fortunately we had reversions from agencies, which added up to about the $150 million.
But so, Don, what if Craig doesn't miss its forecast, but what if our expenses miss their mark? And I'm specifically thinking, for example, of Title 25. I mean, if Craig is on target, but, I mean, God forbid, suppose Title 25 were $30 million over, then he would be unable to access that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, that is correct. For Title 25, he could use savings within the Department of Health. He could use his flex authority between agencies. So, for example, you might have some savings in the DEQ for $1 million. He could use that. He could not access the $104 million for Title 25 unless you specifically authorize it.
Okay. Appreciate the... Mr. Kosher.
Let me just harp back on the penitentiary for a moment. If the penitentiary completely fails and has to be evacuated, what access does the governor have to funds for that?
Mr. Chairman, I would anticipate that he would and this is just a guess, but based upon historic experience with other governors, when they've had a natural disaster or some other emergency, they would identify money from whatever source they could, be it the WICHE program, be it the state parks, be it savings from the Department of Corrections, because those correctional officers may no longer need to be employed in the Rawlins community. And he would use those savings, recognizing that he will have to come back to you next session, justify his actions, and request an emergency appropriation for the balance of the biennium. If the Joint Appropriations Committee and your colleagues of the legislature are not sympathetic to that, he will recognize that he had limited authority, and he will have negative impacts in the agencies from which he took those funds to address that emergency in the state pen. So if he took $1 million hypothetically from DEQ, you may not give it back to him. Generally, the legislature has, if that natural disaster or something has been compelling, but there is no guarantee on that.
Thank you.
So the $20 million that he has in the disaster fund, you could use that?
Mr. Chairman, there really is very limited. There's, I think, $400,000 in contingency, and another maybe $250,000 to $500,000 in disaster. There are very few pots for the governor to go grab money from.
Don, I thought there was a fire fund that has a substantial sum of money in it.
Mr. Chairman, there is a fire account, and arguably he could go into that, but he could only go into 10% of that, because you have the flex authority is capped at 5% between agencies and 10% between programs. So at most, he could get 10%, likely only 5%. Usually, when something big happens, he goes after Department of Health and Department of Corrections, because 5% of the Department of Health, you know, billion-dollar budget is a sizable amount of money.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in.
What was the sideboards on that?
Yeah, the sideboards.
Okay. $4.5 million.
Should run through those sideboards again, just.
Mr. Chairman, I understood the motion to be the $104.55 million transfer from the LSRA to the budget reserve account shall be contingent upon Craig meeting and revising the projection for revenue forecast for 2017-2018 biennium of at least $100 million.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? No. Motion carries.
Move to close.
Then move.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Now, did we open all of Section 300 or only Section 300K?
It's generally open for the entire section.
Right. Okay, so if there's anything else, I don't have anything, but.
In the 300.
In the 300.
Yep. All those in favor of closing, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. Don?
Mr. Chairman, the next section is employee benefits. Section 305 is retiree health care. I'm not familiar with any.
Seeing none. Next one?
The next agency is the Section 306 Executive Flex. Recall this is just a provision to ensure that the reductions to the Department of Agriculture occur in the Administration Division. I'm not familiar with any request to change that. The next section is Higher Education Excellence Endowment, Section 309. I did want to clarify here, our notes from this morning indicate that on line 15, we should strike general fund and insert legislative stabilization reserve account.
That's correct from our discussions this morning.
Okay, move to open Section 308.9.
Move to second to open 309. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry.
I would make the motion that on line 15, page 92, we change general fund to LSRA.
Second.
Move to second. All
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to close?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, hold on. Yep.
Before we close, I misunderstood which account this was this morning. I thought this was the stipends. But apparently this is the trust account that doesn't have enough money to support the endowed shares. And so this is only good till September 30th, 2017. So, otherwise, so we don't, this is an ongoing thing. So we don't know how much longer this obligation may go or the need's going to be there.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, so if I'm correct, though, we will be back here for a budget session before this need would come up, a potential need would come up again.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the language is crafted to ensure that there's at least $2.5 million in the account. That assumes if you get roughly 2.5%, which is what is predicted by Craig in terms of interest and dividends, plus the reserve account balance of up to $2.5 million, you should be able to get through one more fiscal year, FY18. It does not – this is not a long-term fix, however. Mr. Chairman, your language also provides only half of the problem, $1.25 million.
Further discussion? Motion to close. Or do we do that already?
Close.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, the next section, second to last section, 313, is the provision for the Endow program. It's contingent on Senate File 132. This makes the payment out of the general fund. The bill makes the identical payment at this time out of the LSRA.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kochev.
I thought we maybe the motion died. I thought we had passed the thing saying it came out of the business-ready community account.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. So you'll see the reduction in Section 85, business-ready communities, and then this is the addition. So the BRC is reduced. It just doesn't occur in the same section. It occurs in two different places because the BRC is not going to be the home for Endow. Endow has a brand new council.
It takes the 2.5 million, puts it back into the general fund, and then we're clipping it out of the general fund and putting it here.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. So it's a two-step process.
Wouldn't it make more sense just to take it out of the business ready community account?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, the business-ready community appears on a different page.
Okay.
In Section 85, so that's where we have to take it out of.
So right now, people who are just generally looking at this see that this endowment is coming from three different locations, when in fact it's coming from two different locations.
Mr. Chairman, it is coming from two. That's correct.
Okay.
And we will put some special language on our cheat sheet to hopefully assist members.
Description. That will be useful. Representative Larson.
Thank you. I think I followed that, but probably not. So we're going to pull out a business ready program, go to general funds, then from general funds back. We can't go straight there. We've got to go to Omaha first. Thank you.
Rock Springs.
Now, if I recall, what Senate file is it?
Senate File 132, Mr. Chairman.
132. If Senate File 132 passes and the money comes out of LSRA, then that money does not go back into the business-ready community. That $2.5 million stays in the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Thank you.
Further discussion? We didn't open that. We did? Yeah, okay. Next, Don.
Mr. Chairman, Section 320 is the last section. I think there were two items here that may be worthy of your attention and potentially a change. Actually, just one item, excuse me. On page 95, line 14, there may be some benefit in the governor providing a report on January 1st 2018 as opposed to June 30th, 2018. That way you know the progress prior to next budget session.
Yeah, there is a motion to open.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. And before we do that one, Don, on page 93, that date of March 15, 2017 for establishing the full-time positions, and I would just suggest to the committee that maybe that ought to be February 1st, because otherwise we could have a bunch of new positions between now and March 15th.
Mr. Chairman, I see where you're going there. On page 93, I think an alternative might be on line 18 to strike February and insert January. So the report for the auditor still occurs on March 15th, but it's on January's payroll.
Yeah, okay. So we have been moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. So then on 195, motion. On D, line 14, to change that to January 1st, 2018, so we have the report before JAC meets.
So moved.
And seconded. All those in discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Representative Summers.
So, Mr. Chairman, on Romanet 2, on page 94, were we going to put something in there about no pass-through money? Or I mean, I'd just soon get rid of Romanet 2, but is there some more elegant way to do that than eliminate the whole language? My worry is that we just end up cutting pass-through and we don't cut positions with that language. So I guess my question is there a way to put something in there about this will not include pass-through money or...
I think you have to, Don. I think you're trying to put together a conceptual amendment.
Yeah.
Striking.
Doesn't break one. I don't know.
He's wanted.
Right. No. So we're seeing, including all those positions. It doesn't have the positions.
Yeah.
So I think the motion would be just to strike Romanet 2, so he's got to cut 75 positions. I like him having the flexibility. But, do we have a motion?
No, if there's not an easy way to do it, I'm not going to worry about it.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, would it be possible to say on line 12, instead of programs, units, or activities, to say in the 200 or 900 series?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, we actually did have a discussion of saying something like not including 600 series, which is generally the pass-through grants. The problem with that is oftentimes that is part of a program. It might be a small part, but then you would have the 600 series left and all of the administration supplies, IT, associated with that removed. Let's take hypothetically a rabies surveillance program. We could cut everything except for the pass-through to the local.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to eliminate Romanet 2.
Is there a second? Seeing none. Don, I had a question. If we added a section that freezes the pay on all positions, what would that do? And how would you phrase that?
Well,
So in other words, saying no pay raises between now and the end of the biennium.
I think we have had language in prior biennia that put on a freeze in pay increases, something like as of the January payroll, no position shall receive funding in excess of the amount that was paid in January payroll, or obviously we can improve upon the language. That certainly would be a possibility. Of course, all of this is subject to veto. I just want to make that clear. And would there be any savings? Potentially, but arguably quite limited.
Okay. Any further discussion on Section 320? Been moved and seconded to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. Next on.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure whether the bringer of this motion would want to. I'm only aware of one additional motion, and that is something relative to across-the-board action. This would be the time to do that.
So this is where the Senate can bring up their 1% and 1.5% again?
Already been voted down.
True.
Is anybody in the House side going to change their vote?
Over there on the other side?
I don't think so.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Liberals, not our fault.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we have a 1% across the board cut.
Do you want that include the Department of Health, or you want to take them out?
No, we'll leave them out for now.
So equivalent, it's the $9.8 million for across the board, excluding
right.
Department of Health. There has been moved and seconded. All those in further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
No. Motion failed. You did that just for fun.
I'm just trying to establish.
Okay, Don.
Yeah.
So
it was a party line vote.
So you know, I think that we should have the priority. If anyone wants to go back in one more time, if we've missed something, if we've on some agency, I mean, this is a razzle-dazzle, happens in 3 hours event. So if there's anything that really needs to be open, speak now or forever, hold your peace. I didn't tender any motion. So as long as it's not YDOT and air transportation. Oh, go ahead, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still a little confused over our vote on Title 25 because I really thought we landed on 12 million. I remember somebody tried to cut that to 10, and then we disagreed with that. But I thought some contingency funds. I keep using the word contingency. I thought we were allowing the governor to access 12 million on behalf of Title 25. And maybe I'm the only one that remembers it that way.
It came back up. We put it 12. It came back up again, and we took it back out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, hence was the effort to use tobacco money today to try and help
sure.
them. Because we had cut it completely out, we wanted to put that money in from the tobacco tax.
All right. Anything further? The good of the nation. Seeing none, I think we're adjourned.
Move.
Oh, actually, move to close the budget. Yeah.
Move to close.
Second.
Is that a roll call vote?
Don?
Mr. Chairman, you do need a roll
correct.
Call
yeah.
a roll call vote. I just want to highlight something in advance before we leave. The profile could appear as though it is negative because you won't be funding the full $104.55 million. That does not mean you don't have – that you're leaving here with a negative balance. But it basically means that $104.55, because the contingency that was placed on that, that Craig must meet and reduce it, its forecast, the front page of the profile is likely to have a negative sign associated with that. That doesn't mean that you're leaving here with a negative. What that means is you're not funding the 104.
Correct.
If that makes
it does. So the proper motion is those in favor of supporting the supplemental budget as adopted and amended by the joint JAC, please say aye.
Aye. I thought it was a roll call.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it a roll call?
Mr. Chairman, it is a roll call okay. vote. It requires a majority of
both houses.
Of both houses. Roll Representative Burkhardt.
Aye.
Representative Larson.
Aye.
Representative Schwartz.
Aye.
Representative Summers.
Aye.
Representative Walters.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Senator Dockstetter.
Aye.
Senator Driscoll.
Aye.
Senator Hastert.
Aye.
Senator Landon.
Aye.
Co-Chairman Burns.
Aye.
Chairman Nicholas.
Aye.
The bill passes.
Thank you, everybody. I mean, it's been a long, hard
slog,
and we don't all get what we want. Some of us didn't get a lot of what we wanted, I suppose. Representative Larson.
So, Mr. Chairman, could you just briefly tell us how the path moves forward from here?
Yeah, Don, I think I'll let you do that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, we will get working on both the bill and a updated cheat sheet. We may touch base with a couple of you. I've already, for example, spoke with Senator Driscoll to clarify one of his motions. You'll have a chance to review the bill before we post it. The chairman obviously have to sign off on the language, and we expect that will happen in the next couple of days. I'm not entirely sure how long it'll take, but somewhere around Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, something like that, and it would be posted for view by the public, lobbyists, press. Monday would start with the explanation of the bill in the Committee of the Whole on both houses, and I believe the expectation is that the members would present their assigned agencies, and if you need any help in addition to the information in the cheat sheets, we're available on like Thursday and Friday, and of course we'll be available either just off the floor or on the floor depending on the decorum rules in each house for that presentation.
And Don, you might be available on Sunday afternoon if someone wants to work through a, kind of a practice run with a few of us.
Mr. Chairman, just
right about kickoff
time.
Oh, is that Super Bowl?
Yeah,
ooh.
It is.
I think you need to identify the ones you want for his benefit. Otherwise, because a lot of them don't make sense. So.
I don't know about that stuff, but we don't have to explain the old footnotes.
Mr. Chairman,
this is just a supplement.
Just a quick question. When we divided up agencies, did your side do divide up the same way as this side?
Slightly different.
Yeah.
Well, they have seven people. We have five.
So there is not a department. Well, yeah, I guess there is.
Well, maybe.
So we're on our own, everybody.
No, I think, well, our list was published on who, if you want to talk with whoever that is that has your agencies. Could you just email the reciprocal list of both sides?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
That way you can talk to them and get any questions. Let us know.
Anybody on this side have any stress about your assignments?
Oh, yeah.
As long as you know.
And I take it the chairs will take the 300s?
Mr. Chairman, that's the discretion of the chairs. Historically, some chairmen have divvied them up equally and even entirely to the membership. On other occasions, the chair has taken all of them.
I'll pay the rent.
Summers. He understands all of those things.
Okay.
I don't understand why the Senate didn't want to put any money back in the EURI.
Why, who, what?
The Senate wouldn't put any money back in the EURI.
We did.
We did. We put a quarter million.